If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the 16th chapter of Acts. I'm going to take a little brief hiatus from 1 Peter for a week or two. And I changed horses today, as sometimes I do. No PowerPoint today. So I want you to just give your attention here. And by the way, we're very happy to have some of our brothers and sisters from Tabernacle here. They're kind of over in this area, but let's give them a hand. God bless you. And thank the Lord for you. And David Strickland, got to meet David Strickland today. And they were twins, separated at birth. Mother couldn't decide which one to name David, so she named both of them. I'm lying. Don't believe that. We need to put that sign up. He's telling the truth. He's like, okay, now I'm telling the truth. All right, 16th chapter of Acts. Now, there are two words that I want to look at today that Lord put on my heart. Now, let me read the passage first and then tell you the story about this, because this is very happening now. This is very viral. This is some things that God has been doing and saying. In Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And he came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were there in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because the Jews were in those parts, for they all knew this father was a Greek. Now, while they were passing through the cities," now I want you to see, as this is happening, what's going on in Paul's life, and as they are doing their missionary work, they're spreading the gospel. While they were passing, verse 4, while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which were decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. And the sense of that, the force of that phrase means not only were the individual local bodies increasing in number, but themselves, but there were more churches being established as the church of the Lord was growing. And they were going around encouraging them, building them up, that kind of circular thing that was going on. And they passed through the Phrygian and the Galatian region, having been, and here's the first word I want you to see, forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So what do we see here? God stops them. He stops them. Little point here about evangelism. God's called us to reach the world, but he's called us to reach the world his way. How many people on the face of the planet today? 5.5, 6 billion, 7 billion? I forget. What is it? It's a bunch. It's a bunch. Now, are you going to be able to share the gospel with all of them? You personally? Of course not. Which ones has God called you to reach? He's called you to reach the ones he's called you to reach. How are you going to know that unless you listen to him? So there are places where the Spirit of God stops us. Has he stopped you recently? Anybody? He asked me. Stop, right here, no farther. So he forbid them to go to Asia. And when they come to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of God did not permit them. So he stops them again. Stop. Right here. Forbidden. Forbidden. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. You know what the next part of this is? And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. That's the vision. This Macedonian that comes to Paul in the night and says, come on over here and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought. Now this is Dr. Luke writing Acts under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We sought to go into Macedonia, concluding, here's their conclusion, that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Okay, second word is called. Forbidden and called. Closed door, open door. Are you following me so far? Okay, now, let me tell you part of our story. Excuse me, Odie, I'll walk around you here, son. Tell you part of our story. When we're about to make another transition in the life of this body. You know, someone said, well, when are you going to quit making transitions? Never. It's never going to get boring. Never. Do you think heaven's going to be boring? You think it's going to be the same thing every day? Do you think on the first day in heaven that you're going to be able to fathom everything that God has and is? You think? I don't think. I think we're going to spend an eternity going deeper, longer, stronger, wider with God. That we're never going to be able to get to the bottom of Him. Because there is no bottom. There is no boundary to Him. Because He's God. We have a relationship with Him. So, why should it be that way on this earth? No. God doesn't want us to settle for anything. He wants us to listen to Him and follow His call according to His plan, His work in the earth, as we cooperate with Him in what He is doing in the earth. And so for us, that has meant one change right after the other. Just think for a moment what's happened in the last 2 years. I mean, just think. Let me give you another one. Just think what's happened in the last 3 months. Just wrap your mind around that for just a moment. Now, all that said, God is leading. When I first came to some of our folks with the news that we possibly were going to, with the opportunity for this facility on 52nd Street with Tabernacle Baptist Church, there came, as people prayed, there came several what I would view as warnings. They would be, I would put them in the category of forbiddens in this verse. Now hear me closely on this. This is very important. Because this didn't just come from one or two or three or four of our people. I'm talking dozens. And I'm talking about people who are friends of our body, who are outside of us, who are not directly with us. I mean, it was, you know, God didn't just affirm it twice or three times or four times. He did it over and over again. And here's some of the things that I heard from these people and I heard myself. our pastors heard this from the very beginning. Here's some things I believe God forbid us. Next Sunday, when we go over there and begin meeting there, number one, that will not be the church. Do you understand me? A building never can be the church. That's heresy. That's not of God. You know, tell the Chinese church that. Tell the church in Ivory Coast that. That a church is building. They don't equal one another. That's why the sign outside is going to say the meeting place of, or a meeting place of. That's the only thing it can be. Okay? Same thing. This came again and again. No agendas. No personal agendas. Let me give you one of those. Person said this to me, said, "Well, finally, it looks like finally y'all gonna become a real church." What's that about? Real church. The real church is the real body of Jesus in which Jesus lives. Jesus doesn't live in a building. Jesus lives in me. No agendas. Second thing. Third thing, excuse me. See, I'm even editing my notes as I go along here. Holy Spirit's editing them. There will be absolutely, cannot be. God has forbidden there to be an edifice complex. Everybody that took psychology knows the play on words there. But, what that means is no worship of a building. It can't become sacred. Yes. So somebody asked me this past week. So they said, "So I guess now y'all own the building, the Tabernacle Church has given that to you?" I said, "No." I said, "Legally you might say that, but we don't own. No, we're the next stewards of that gift. Do you hear me?" And when God puts something in your hands like that, He doesn't mean for you to do this. Do you hear me? When He puts it in your hands, He puts it in your hands so you can keep those hands open. Because you know what happens when you do this? He's liable to stop giving. Because He can't give into this, can He? But He can give into this. Are you hearing me? God has forbidden some things. He forbade Paul in certain places they would go. He's forbidden us in certain things that we can do and not do. Finally, there's a number of things we put in there, but the last one in this, number four. There can be no leaving of the vision that God has given us. It must be a continuation of that vision and expansion of that vision that He has given us. All right, now let's get on to the other part. That's the word forbidden. Now the other word, remember the other word we said was an important word? What was it? Called. He called them. They concluded that they were called to preach the gospel. Called. This is where the European church began. They crossed over from Asia Minor and they went into Europe proper. They came to Philippi. That's in Acts 16. The Philippian church, the Philippian jailer, all those women down by the riverside that started that church and all the great things that happened. And what a blessing the Philippian church was to the Apostle Paul all of the rest of his life on this earth. None of that would have been possible if he hadn't listened to God if he hadn't been obedient to what the Holy Spirit said to him. They were called. Now, what has God called us to? Well, here's one calling. Now, granted, I'm not going to exhaust the list today. I'm just going to give you a good starting place. First thing he has called us to is to see that every man, woman, boy, and girl in this city has the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ in his life. God has called us to that. You say, well, everybody knows about Jesus. No, they don't. No, they don't. They've seen a caricature of Jesus. Or they've seen church. Church made by men. But have they seen the real Jesus? Have they met the Galilean? Have they come face to face with their Savior, the one who gave his lifeblood in their behalf, in our behalf, so that we could experience heaven, yes, when you die, but heaven right now. Such that when you die, or Jesus comes back, you won't even know the difference. It's just going to be one life. When did life begin for you? The day you received Jesus in your life. You've never been the same, and you'll never be the same. What else has God called us to? He's called us to be the body-based church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen to this. What I mean by body-based? Not building-based. Not meeting-based. Not organization-based. But the real, living body of Jesus on this earth. When Jesus talks about coming back and getting us and however you do your eschatology, at the end of it, what we're going to have is the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the bride, Jesus, the bridegroom, Jesus, is going to come back and get his bride, us, and there will be a marriage of the two. That's the great picture of eternity that he has planned for us. Imagine it. He's given us a head start on that right now. Right now. To be his body. The body of Jesus in the earth. That's why in all these places in the earth right now where they're trying to stamp out the church, you know, they get that broom. They get that broom and I'm going to stamp out the fire of God. And what do they do with it? They knock that broom down to knock out that fire and then they bring it back up. And what happens? The broom's on fire. And the sparks just go everywhere. You cannot stamp out the church of God. His body on this earth. We're part of his body. And if you're one of these naive people that think right now that persecution is not tuning up in the earth right now, you need to be in touch with the news and what's going on in the earth right now and in our country and a little bit better. There are places where it's more difficult today. Nothing in this country, though, to compare what is outside of this country. The third thing. Just a physical thing I wanted to remind you of. He's called on us. The property, the things that he gives to us, I've always said this, to hold on to it with open hands. Number four, he's called us to be the two-winged church. The church that is gathered in large groups, the church that is gathered in small groups. Both wings of the church. How many wings does a bird need to fly? Two. The church of Jesus on this earth needs both of those wings. Us gathered here on Sundays, us gathering in our small groups, you know, we gather in the large group, we see the Most High God. We gather in our small group, we see the Most Nigh God. And God uses both in our lives so that His body will fly in the earth. And we can be the people of God He has called us to be. That's the picture He's given. That's the picture in the New Testament. And finally, I believe God's called us to be very fluid and very decentralized when necessary. Do you understand me? Very fluid. Change on a dime. Several months after, probably sometime in the early fall, we're going to have a Sunday where we don't gather over there. You know why we're going to do that? As a reminder that we are the church scattered. That we can't get bound to be. Now, how are we going to do that? Don't know if we're going to do large group in the park or do it in our life groups like we've done that before, have meetings like that. But as a reminder that we must be fluid and decentralized for the body of Christ, to be His body on this earth. Are you following? What has God forbidden you? What has He called you? Is He speaking to you? I feel the Lord moving right now. I feel Him, just the Spirit of God, just saying, come on, come on, come on, come on. We need to follow that call. You know what I also feel Him saying? Oh, stop. 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 Can you feel that? Do you know that? What God is doing in the earth. And you know the beautiful thing? I believe God's calling us to look like what it's going to look like in heaven. Do you hear me on that? Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, all sorts of people. Let's bow our heads. Just a moment. I'm going to open the altar here. You don't have to come up to the altar. But if you'd like to, it's open. There are going to be people scattered around for you to pray with. Don't ever want anybody to leave one of our gatherings that they didn't have an opportunity to be prayed for and prayed with. To see the power of God work. We're not into the mind games, tricking you into doing things, all that kind of thing. We just put it out there and then let God do His work. What's God speaking to you about today? Have you received Him into your life? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Is He Lord of your life? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? What's He forbidden you? What's He calling you to do? Lord, right now, I thank You for this beautiful day. On this Father's Day, this Lord's Day, we bless You. We thank You for Your presence here now. And I'm asking You, Lord, now, You'll do Your work, continue Your work in our lives. I thank You for the great gifts that You have given us. But most of all, Lord, for the gift of Your Son, Jesus, our Savior, and His Spirit who lives in us in a relationship with You forever. Lord, come now. Come with power. Lord, as we bring our needs before You, as we bring ourselves before You, come, Lord Jesus. Come work in us now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Pastors, life group leaders, y'all take your places. The altar's open here. Come as the Lord leads you. Why don't you put your hand on a man that is near you? We're not only going to pray. We don't just pray for the guys that have already become a physical father, but all the men that they'll show in this society what a man of God is supposed to look like and be. So, right now, let's pray a blessing over these men in our church. Everybody got somebody? Okay. All right, here we go. Lord, right now, in Your name and in Your power, we pray for all these guys. God, I know in the earth today that the evil one is out there to steal, kill, and destroy. And so often, Lord, he starts with the head of the home, these dads, these husbands, and these who are going to be dads and husbands. God, I'm praying right now You will guard their minds and their hearts. I'm praying for power and strength that they could be real men of God. We could be the real men of God that You've called us to be, who will stand firm in the faith and have a love affair with Jesus. They'll spill over into our families and all those around us. I'm asking You for that blessing. Lord, I'm thanking You for these men that we have our hands on right now. What a blessing they are to us. I thank You for all the things that You have used them to do in our lives. But Lord, I'm thanking You in advance for the great things You're going to do in the future. I'm praying for the power of God. I'm praying for spiritual gifts to be poured out on these guys, for Your anointing to be upon them. God, that You would pour out a blessing that they just couldn't hold in their lives, and that all the people around them may know. God, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, right now, I pray for a filling of the Holy Spirit of God. And it is in the strong name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Happy Father's Day. Go in grace.